You excited to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we have handouts to give you. They're on the front row, Brother Lou, if you would. One's for later. You just give that one out, the colored one, yeah. We also have books, a couple of extra books left if you need a book for the Holy Spirit. We've been really emphasizing the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's very important that you connect with us and go along with us. Make sure everybody gets one. Everybody got one? Okay. We'll give her a colored one because I ran out of colored copies. Rusty, give her a colored copy. I think she got a black and white. So I think there's enough colored copies to pass out. All right, everybody got one? All right, praise the Lord. It's also on CCB. If you want to fill it out electronically, it also was emailed to those in the group. Praise God. Well, let's get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. We thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you for your holy written word, your word's eternal, it's life-changing, powerful. Our hearts are alert, mind receptive. We are in a position of reverence and respect and honor for your word, to learn and receive from you, Lord, by your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for divine illumination. We exercise our faith together in agreement for revelation knowledge, insights, understanding, concepts, and divine ideas that will change our lives for the better forever, in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that we will learn and receive tonight and all that you will do in confirmation of your word. In Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to read out of Hebrews. I'm going to start with Hebrews. We're going to be talking about angels tonight. And so I got a lot of good information to give you. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to really emphasize this topic tonight. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. And he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, referring back to the angels. Verse 5, for which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today have I begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again bringeth the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O Lord, O God, is forever, forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now I'm going to keep reading through verse 9, chapter 2. Therefore, what's that there for? Because we got to remember, all this was said for something. So he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. King James says, let them slip. There is a danger of drifting. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs, bearing them witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will? For he hath not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and has put all things in subjection under his feet. Verse 8. For in him he put all things in subjection unto him, and he left nothing that is not to be put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Isn't that good? Amen. So we see a lot of mentions in this text of Scripture that we just read, by the grace of God, about in reference to angels. So what are angels? Who are angels? Are angels real? And so we suggest to you, as you have in your handout, the first section there, that God's word confirms beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are unseen angels around you all the time, assigned to help you in every given moment. What is that God created them to do? What is their job? Well, we see the scripture says that, are they not, verse Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits, serving spirits, sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's you and me. Angels are ministering spirits created by God. They are not born not men and women. They were created beings whose purpose is to serve God and to help believers. Everybody say, serve God and help believers. So their primary job of angels is to minister to and for us. Now, it's different when somebody ministers for you and also to you. So you would say this in today's language. Oh, these all people work for me. Amen? So they work for you. So you should know what they're working on. How many angels do you have working for you? Now, so angels are not here on earth to for us to minister to them and to worship them. We don't do that. We don't worship angels. They are assigned. Everybody say assigned. Assigned by heaven to work hand in hand with us to help us get our job done. So angels is heaven helping us with our divine assignment. with our respective role and responsibilities in the kingdom of God. God has not set up some haphazard, loosey-goosey, ethereal or spiritual system that just everybody just floats around, does what they want. God's a God of order. And in his government order, he's created assistants, divine assistants, who help us, who are sent forth to minister for us as the heirs of salvation. Isn't that good? We see angels are assigned to us at the beginning, and they remain with us until the end. We find in Matthew 18:10, Jesus referred to angels here. He says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, talking about the children. For I say unto you that that in heaven they're angels. Now, I want you to notice something, that he doesn't say your angel. He says your angels, plural. Right? Y'all see it on the screen? Your angels. Well, how many do you have? I'm going to tell you that in just a minute. I'm going to give you some insight on that in just a minute. Their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. So that, isn't that in the beginning? So as you're born, and particularly when you're born again, you have angels with you from the beginning to the end of your life. Let's turn to Luke 16:19. Isn't that good?
Yes.
They're not fat, naked babies sitting up on clouds strumming a harp. Okay, that's commercialization. That's not Bible. Okay, Luke 16:19, he says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus when he was late, which was laid at the gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by who?
The angels
unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Amen. So you see the beginning of life. And then Jesus is telling us the account, the literal account. It wasn't a whopper story. He was telling us a literal account of Lazarus who died, but the angels carried him to paradise, Abraham's bosom, at the end of his life. Now let's look at Acts chapter 27, verse 23. Acts chapter 27, verse 23. We see in the middle of a tragic situation, Paul had his angels standing by him. Look at verse 23, Acts 27:23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Talking about the God, he's basically saying, I belong to God, so God has given me an angel to stand with me during a tough time in my life. He was in the middle of a hurricane, Category 5 hurricane storm called Euroclydon. He was on the boat, and everybody was afraid they're going to die. But the angel stood by Paul and encouraged him, helped him cheer up in the middle of his worst season. Looked like all hope was gone. Everybody say angels.
Angels.
Now let's learn a little bit more about angels. In Psalms 103, verse 18, now you have one page. I didn't want to put a whole bunch of notes and give you. I just want to give you one page to whet your appetite and study. But you can take notes on the back of it. Because I'm going to give you a lot of other notes that are not in here. So I'm giving you that now. So you can write on the back or write on a separate sheet of paper. Psalms 103, verse 18, it says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. What do they do? They do his word. What do they heed? The voice of his word. Now that's a key for all of us. We need to become the vocalize and become the voice of God's word to put our angels to work. We're going to talk about that. How do you release angels? How do you activate your angels and put them to work for you? If they're your employees, let's just say that you got 20 employees and you got a big mansion and estate and big old grass and yard, and they all stand around with their hands folded and they're looking at you saying, waiting for you to tell us what to do. That's what your angels are doing. Waiting for you to tell us what to do. All right, so let's talk about angelic activity in reference to angels, references to angels in the Bible. In the Old Testament, angel is mentioned 108 times. We're talking about the reality of angels. 108 times. That's enough alone to prove that the angels are real and they exist. In the New Testament, it ticks up, it continues to enlarge our knowledge and understanding of angelic beings by mentioning angels a total of 165 times. It's a whole bunch of times in Revelations alone, the book of Revelations alone. Six times in the book of Acts, angels are ministered to the Lord's people. Six times in the book of Acts, in the early church, an angel showed up at Peter's house. An angel showed up, told Philip to go down somewhere. An angel showed up at Cornelius as he's praying and giving alms. Angels all around. Glory to God. Now write these 9 points down, 1 through 9. 1 through 9, write these 9 points down. Number one, angels are real. Angels are created spirit beings. Friends, we are human beings, but we're also spirit beings. Amen. So we have a threefold nature. We are spirit, soul, and body. Angels are real. They are created spirit beings. Psalms 148, 2 and 5 says, praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, all ye hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So they were created beings. Your spirit was created by God. Your mother and father procreated to create your body. The only two individuals that ever existed on the earth with a created body was Adam and then Jesus. Because God created Adam in the beginning, remember, breathing his breath and nostril, of course, Adam and Eve. And then he did the same thing. The Holy Ghost hovered over Mary. Man didn't have nothing to do with that. That's it, because he's the last Adam. Jesus is the last one, okay? Number two, angels are literally mean messenger. Angels are heavenly messengers of God, often delivering his messages to men and women. Okay? Number three, angels are immortal. Angels are immortal. In the book of Luke, chapter 20, in verse 36, he's talking about after you die. Jesus tells us that men and women can die no more. They are equal to the angels. Angels don't die. They are the sons of God, being as sons of the resurrection. We're as the angels that don't die. All right. Number four, angels of a higher order. High order. He created them as in the angelic class. Now, God himself is in the God class. Now, when we were recreated in Christ Jesus, we came into the God class. You moved up. Amen? So angels have a high order. And then, of course, the animal class, animal kingdom, and then other things. So angels are in a higher order. Okay, number five, angels are intelligent. 2 Samuel 14:20, it says, to bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing, but my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of the angel of God to know everything that's in the earth. They are highly intelligent beings. We know Lucifer, when he was not fallen prior to his fall, he was perfect. The Bible says in Ezekiel, he sealed up the sun. He was full of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. His workmanship, his tabrets, and he had musical instruments that was put inside of him, and he was perfect in the day he was created. He was called the anointed cherub that covered the earth. He was in charge of the earth. These angels are powerful. Okay? And so their wisdom, he said, he's full of wisdom. He's smart. They have all the understanding of technology in the realm of the spirit concerning things on the earth. They know where stuff is at. They're not dummies. Okay? Number six, angels are holy. Mark 8:38. It says, For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Holy angels. Number seven, angels are innumerable. You can't number them. Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion, talking about the church, the spiritual church, and to city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to the judge, God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Everybody say innumerable. Number eight, angels are joyful. Could angels possibly have long faces or be depressed? Luke 15:10 says, likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So the angels know how to rejoice and shout. You got to remember their first assignment is to worship God. Just like our first assignment is to worship God. Worship our Creator. Amen? Our Father God. Now, number nine, and this is where we're going to expound on some things. Angels excel in strength. Now, I'm reading an excerpt from Dr. Rick Renner. He has my notes back here. And Dr. Rick Renner shares three questions with us that he answers through the scriptures. How much strength do you think one angel possesses? Because angels excel in strength. Spiritual strength is exponentially more powerful than physical strength. You know, angel cooked food for one man of God, heavenly food, spiritual food, and he ate that cake and went in the strength of that food for 40 days. It's in the Bible. How strong is an angel? To answer that question, you must consider the full impact of Jesus' statements, words in the Garden of Gethsemane when they was coming to get him. He said in Matthew 26:53, thinkest not thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 12 legions. And you know he had a thought about it because he thought about how many angels he had. Now let's look at 12 legions. To understand fully the magnitude of what Jesus said here, we need to know, reading from the excerpt again, what is a legion? How many angels would there be in 12 legions? What would be the combined strength of these number of angels? So it's important to answer these questions because the answers reveal the full might that was available to Jesus as he requested supernatural help in the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, when we take into account the power that was already demonstrated in the garden, and then add the potential assistance and impact of 12 legions of angels, it becomes obvious that there was no human force on earth strong enough to take Jesus against his will. The only way he was going to be taken if he was allowed himself to be taken. This is why Jesus later told Pilate, "Thou couldst not have power at all against me except it were given to thee from above." John 19:11. Let's first begin with the question, what's a legion? The word legion is a military term that was taken from the Roman army. A legion denoted a group of at least 6,000 Roman soldiers. Although the total number could be higher, this means that any time we read about a legion of anything, we can know that it always refers to at least 6,000 of something. An amazing example of this is found in Mark chapter 5, verse 9. Where the Bible tells us that a demon-possessed man and the man of the Gadarenes had a legion of demons. That means a man that was infested with at least 6,000 demons residing inside of him. You think about the capacity of your spirit to contain 6,000 demons? That's a lot, isn't it? Now, let's contemplate the second question. How many angels would there be in 12? Since the word legion refers to at least 6,000, it means the legion of angels will be at least 6,000 angels. However, Jesus said that Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels if he requested it, because if it were, it would be pure speculation to try to figure out how many more than 12 legions would there be. Let's just stick the figure 12 in there to see how many angels that entails. One legion is 6,000 angels, so if you simply multiply that number by 12, you discover that 12 legions of angels would include a minimum of 72,000 angels. But Jesus said the Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels. Therefore, you can conclude that there were potentially many additional thousands of angels available to Jesus the night he was arrested. Now, what would be the combined strength of this number of angels, 72,000 angels? Well, angels are powerful. They excel in strength. Isaiah 37:36 records that a single angel obliterated 185,000 men in one night. One angel. He slayed 185,000 Syrians. So if a single angel had that kind of power, how much combined strength would there be in 12 legions of angels? Since the single angel was able to obliterate 185,000 men in one night, that means that the combined strength in a legion of 6,000 angels would be enough to destroy 1,110,000 men. That's 1,110,000,000 men. That's just the combined power of one legion of angels. Now let's multiply that same number, 185, times 12 legions, or at least 72,000 angels, which was the number of angels Jesus was available to him that night in the arrest. When we do, we find that there was enough combined strength at Jesus' disposal to have annihilated at least 13,320,000,000 men. Now, he could have wiped out the entire earth. Now, I don't think it was 7 billion people on earth, but he could at least double the earth population with 12 legions of angels. Now, these are the created spiritual beings that are assigned to assist you and me. Simply put, angels are powerful, and Jesus had a huge number of angels at his disposal. Amen? So how many do you have? Now, these are recorded records from men of God, three men of God, Lester Summerall, Charles Capps, and Brother Hagin. And they conferred with each other, and they come to an understanding that every believer has at least 20,000 angels. And I heard it myself on coming right out of their own mouth on recording. 20,000 angels. Now, in one account, I'll give you a quick story here. Brother Hagin gives an account of he had seen angel. He saw his angel. The first time he saw his angels was with he was traveling in a trailer, and they were traveling across country and whatnot, and he was believing God for ministry needs and stuff like that, that the Lord had directed him, and he got off on doing what the Lord had directed him to do about ministry money, ministry finances. And he said that a supernatural being came to visit him. Now, he didn't see because they're invisible, unless you have the discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is one of the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so that means you get to see into the realm of the spirit. You see, you don't just see demons, you can see angels too. You can see Jesus. You can see spirit beings in the realm of the spirit. Well, he didn't have that in operation at the time. He was just laying down, meditating in the word, getting ready for a service later on that day. He had one night service. And he said he sensed it. Somebody come in the trailer. And he's there laying on the bed with his Bible and stuff. And when he sat up, and he said, man, I'm like the hair stand up on his head. And he sat up, and he said he just felt this massive presence come, walk around. And because he was in fear and he wasn't in faith and speaking right, the angel couldn't say anything to him. Now take a note of that. The angel was sent to tell him about his ministry and to tell him about the finances of his ministry and what to do to correct it. And so this angel walked around him, stood around him, and he just got, what is that? Who is that? And then left. He said 17 months to the day from that encounter, he went into his ministry, went into the red. He said in the red, meaning every month they had minimum budget stuff, and then they went into the red. $100 a month. Every month, you know, deficit. So 17 months, hard rowing. Then he's in a meeting one time, 17 months later, and he's on the platform, and they start praising God and worshiping God. And then as they were praising God, the presence of God came in there. He looked over toward the piano and then looked right over there, and he saw Jesus. But then he saw a large human being right behind him, a few feet behind him, standing up. He said he was so tall, his head was above the ceiling. Big, massive fellow. And Jesus was talking to him. Well, right in the middle of service, talking. Jesus telling him all this stuff. And then he would look over at this big individual, and he began to open his mouth. And then when he took his eyes off him, the angel would shut up. And then he finally asked the Lord, he said, who is that? He said, that's your angel. He came to you 17 months ago to tell you about your ministry, to tell you about your money, finances of your ministry, to make some changes or corrections. And he said you wouldn't listen to him, you wouldn't pay attention to him, and so he left. He sent to tell you something. And he turned, but now gave his attention to the angel and said, all right, what is it? And then the angel began to open up and speak to him. And immediately things changed in the financial scene of his ministry. And this angel told him before he left, he said, I'm your angel. And he said, well, you know, I said, well, why don't you go and work on it? He said, well, there's 20,000 other angels. He said, the prosperity angels have been sent out to go work. He said, I'm I'm your angel, but I have 20,000 angels working underneath me. Now, that wasn't the only amount. We're talking about a minimum amount that each believer has, but he had a bunch because he had a larger ministry. How much help do we have? How much assistance do we have in the realm of the Spirit? I mean, we already got the mighty Holy Spirit, the greater one on the inside of us. But now we have the assistance of angels to help us get our job done. Isn't that beautiful? Now, what are some of the categories of angels and ranks of angels? Well, we see in the scripture the heavenly hosts. You can just write these down. We're going to just kind of go through these real quick. The heavenly hosts, what are they doing? They're singing and worshiping God in heaven. We see cherubims. We see cherubims. We see seraphims. You can study those out. We see living creatures in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, living creatures. That means, you know, people say, well, is animals in heaven? Well, there's living creatures in heaven. And then we see the archangels. We see the reference to Michael, the archangel. Daniel 10:13, Michael is one of the chief princes, came to help me. One of the chief princes came to help me. Daniel was saying that, Daniel 10:13. Jude 9, it refers to Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil. He disputed. Michael who? The archangel, chief angel. Disputed about the body of Moses, dared not to bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, the reason they don't say the same phrases that we use, they haven't been given the name. We have. We have the right to the name of Jesus. So when it comes to dealing with demons, we have to use the name of Jesus. And then they will help us as we give command. When we say, go, ministering spirits, cause the money to come in the name of Jesus, then they can hearken to the command. Amen? Amen. So we have to do that. Otherwise, they'll stand around and look at you and say, when are you going to get a clue? When are they going to put me to work? Amen. We see the mention of a voice of an archangel could be Gabriel, could not be. I mean, again, doesn't give a clear distinction that he's an archangel, but we see him playing that messenger role, blowing the trumpet role, and we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We see Lucifer mentioned before his name was changed to Satan, the devil. His name before was Lucifer, son of the morning. He was an anointed cherub class. He's an unemployed cherub right now. He's running his own rebel kingdom. Okay? Then there are godly thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Colossians 1:15-16 says, he is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, talking about Jesus, all things were created and that are in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Now, that's awesome. Now, we've been reading the Ephesians prayer on Sunday morning, and of course, we should be praying the Ephesians 1 prayer every day. But one of the components of that, when we raise him from the dead, you know, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power through us who believe, through the working of his mighty power, which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above what? Principality. That's angelic power and power. So angelic power is Jesus has been seated far above angelic class beings, angelic powers, governments, thrones, dominions. There's order in the realm of the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. And these classifications in these verses, Colossians 1, 15, 16, are a reference to godly powers of angelic orders. So like when Brother Hagin's angel told him, I got 20,000 angels working for me. That means he was in charge. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10-12, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are obviously evil angelic hosts. There are four classes, four categories of demons. When we come back, I'll talk to you about demons. So there are different ranks and classes of demons. So there's ranks and orders in the realm of darkness, and the rank and order in the realm of angels. What is the job description of an angel? Amen. And so we don't have any clarification specifically that every angel carries out specific tasks, or whether some of them specialize in certain areas, but the Bible speaks about classes of angels. We mentioned the cherubim, seraphims, and notable angels, Michael and Gabriel, and so forth and so on. So what are they tasks? They worship and praise God. You can put that down. This is the main activity portrayed in heaven. They worship and serve God. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, Revelation 4 and 5 chapters. You see the angels worshiping around God's throne, crying, holy, holy, holy. Number two, their job description is messengers. They serve as messengers to communicate God's will to men. They will help reveal things and serve as carriers to the God's word or the law and the word of God. Much material, we see it in Daniel and in Revelation. Now, this messenger angel is so critical to you and I, friends, because there are occasions, and the Lord wanted me to emphasize that to you, the precious people here tonight, that don't cut out your angel, because sometimes God sends messages by your angel. Now, you might not always see them, but you got to be aware. And sometimes God will use an angel to send to you. We see it in the book of Acts. He's like, why didn't God tell me? Why didn't Jesus tell me? In that situation with Brother Hagin, he said, why didn't you tell me? In another situation where Jesus was appeared to him, and then the angel was there riding on a horse, and he came rolling up to the, and him and Jesus is talking, and he's seeing Jesus, and this angel rides up on the horse carrying a scroll. He said, I've been sent from the throne of God to give you a message. Now, why didn't Jesus tell him? Because sometimes angels are assigned to bring messages from God. One classic example, he said he was down in Houston, and three guys were wanting him to set up his offices, Brother Hagin's offices, ministry offices, in their facilities. They said, look, we got this whole office complex. You can have these offices. You won't have to pay any rent. We set up free of charge. You run your ministry and whatnot. We'll take care of all the expenses and everything, da-da-da-da-da. Two very wealthy individuals. Another guy was very good with quality recordings, and back then it was not CDs or flash drives. It was recording reel to reel. So he was real good at reel to reel recording. This is prior to cassettes. I have to tell some of the folks that are younger, they probably don't remember reel to reel. And so very good at mastering those reel-to-reel recording. He said, you can record all your messages. I'll record them for you, and you just do whatever you want to. You just get ministry, and I'll take care of it, and we'll get them out, get them on the radio, and get them on wherever, you know, send them out. And he's like, man, this is a pretty good deal. And he said, we need it, because he said he had no staff, because they were going to pay for secretaries for his office space. We'll pay for your secretaries and assistants and stuff. And he said he didn't have one. It was just him and his wife. Sounded like a pretty good deal. So he's talking to the Lord. The Lord says nothing about it in this vision. But the angel did. He said, there's my angel again. He said, yeah, he's got a message for you. And the angel, he looked at the angel. The angel gave him a message. Big guy. Oh, my goodness. He said he was so tall. And he looked right at him and told him, I bring a message from the throne of God. And he said, warned him about the three people, called them out by name, and said, don't do business with these two men. Don't do business with the court, because they're rich men. They're going to influence you and try to control you and control your ministry. And if you do that, I won't be able to direct you and guide you and so forth and so on. Tell them not to do the deal. But the angel told them. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Sometimes the angels tell you. Glory to God. Angels told a prayer in another church, man of God still alive today. He's up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he said one of his prayers, main prayer, this guy was a world-class intercessor. And he talked to angels all the time. And the guy would, his name was Phil Halverson, and he would send out, him and his wife, Vern, but he would send out angels. He'd take half a day assigning angels all over the world, because his assignment was not just to pray for his pastor and the pastor's wife. His assignment was also, at a time, to pray for Brother Hagin. And he was signed to generals in the body of Christ to undergird him with prayer. And part of that position and assignment and responsibility, he would have to commission and command angels all over the place, going setting up stuff, going doing stuff. And the angel told him one time, and he would go in and tell his pastor. He said, pastor, you're going on this trip. You're going to meet so-and-so. Call the guy's name out. The angel told him, you're going to meet so-and-so. Don't do business with so-and-so. This guy's going to meet you. He said, don't get involved in that area. You're going to meet this guy. This is somebody you need to meet. They can trust him because he was that responsible and proficient of a prayer, of an intercessor. Amen. And he said many a days, many a months, the angels helped protect them as they were growing in their ministry. Praise God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
So messenger angels, messengers. So worship, messengers. Number three, they are guiders. We see angels gave instructions to Joseph about the birth of Jesus. Who came to Jesus? Who came to Joseph? It wasn't any of the human beings. The angel told him, don't be afraid to marry Mary. He was going to put her away privately. He was going to cancel the engagement. But the angel came to him and said, don't fear not, Joseph. We see the angel guided Mary on what to do. Praise God. The woman at the tomb to Philip and to Cornelius, guiders. Sometimes guidance comes by angels. Amen. Providers. God used angels to provide physical needs such as food for Hagar, Elijah, and Christ after his temptation the angels came down, the Bible says, and ministered to him. And when he was in the garden, the angels came down and strengthened him. When he was writhing in agony in Gethsemane, about to go insane because of the pressure and the weight of the cross that was coming upon him, and the angels came down to strengthen him. Keep it together, Jesus. Keep it together, Jesus. You know, put his arms around, kept him under control. Amen. And then when he was tempted and he was through those heavy temptations from the devil himself, angels came down and ministered to him. Amen. We see protectors. What number is that? Five. Protectors, keeping God's people out of physical danger, such as cases of Daniel and the lions. Who shut the mouths of the lions? The angels did, and his three friends in the fiery furnaces. Who kept them out of the fiery furnaces? The angels did. Took the sting out of the fire. They didn't burn because they did not bow. Glory to God. We see them as deliverers. Getting God's people out of danger once they're in it. Angels released the apostles from prison in Acts chapter 5 and repeated the process for Peter in Acts chapter 12. It's the angel that went in and slapped Peter on the side and said, get up. Church was praying. Angels was visiting Peter. Slapped him on the side, said, get up. And he got up and he said, chains fell off of him. Look how powerful they are. All the chains fell off of them. And then the 12 soldiers, the quarantine of soldiers, the whole squad of soldiers, they said it was about 18 people guarding him. They all sleep. So he knocked them all out and sleep and said, Peter, get up. Follow me. And he said the jail, the gates came open when the angels fought walking out. And then he said the jail thing worked open, and they went to the gate of the city, and the city gate opened on its own accord. Go read it in Acts chapter 12. And then once he let him out of the city gate, past the city gate, the angel disappeared. And Peter said, okay, I know where I'm at now. I thought I was dreaming. And he went over to the house, and they still praying for him. Knocked on the door, toot, 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 toot. I'm out of prison. The girl saw him, says, ah! And then she left the door closed, went back there. Peter's at the door. Why'd you let him in? Glory to God. We see them as strengtheners and encouragers. That's a good ministry that they can give you. Angels strengthened Jesus after his temptation, encouraged the apostles to keep preaching after he released them from prison. They told him, go, stand, speak. The words of this life, King James says it, but it literally means, go, stand, and speak in the temple, words that release the life of God. They told Paul that everyone in the ship would survive the impending shipwreck. That's encouragement, right? You're in a tragic situation, the angel comes and tells you, it's going to be all right. Ain't nothing going to happen to you or anybody else. Man, that just lights your heart up, right? Amen, with encouragement. All right, answered prayer. God uses angels as his means of answering prayers to his people. We see it in Daniel 9, 20-24. Gabriel sent to Daniel, Daniel 10-12. Michael sent to Daniel. And then, of course, Acts 12, we see Peter released from prison as an answer to prayer. Caring for believers in the moment of death in the story of Lazarus, the rich man. We just read that. We read the angels carried the spirit of Lazarus to Abraham's bosom when he died. And then, of course, we see angels also serve as executioners. Angels are sometimes used by God to punish sin. An angel of the Lord went forth and smote the Assyrian camp, 2 Kings 19, 20 through 32. And they were all dead corpses. A destroying angel was sent, but later withheld to punish David for his vanity and pride in taking a census of the great number of his people at the time of Moses in Exodus. And Egypt's firstborn was killed by the destroyer. Revelation calls him Apollyon. It was a destroyer angel, but he destroys for purposes, not controlled by the devil. All right, ministers to the children of God. There are angels, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister those who are the heirs of salvation. And just think, the minister just means, a verb form means to attend to the needs of someone. So whatever you need. Now again, think of this. I mean, this is rudimentary or elementary. Think of, what do you need? They're there to help you. They're there to assist you. Heaven sent the angels to assist us in what we need to get our job done. Y'all good? All right, let me hurry up and finish. And so we see the ranks of angels. We see we gave you the types and stuff. We see Jesus is Lord of all. He's the highest rank, then the church, and then the angels. Now, what do we do to release and activate them? So as we close, we think about that. Now, Brother Lou, Brother Steve, you guys can come get the confession there. The Bible gives us every reason to expect great step and increase of angelic activity, because we see the angelic mentioning in the Bible is more active as to get closer to the end. So time is short, so we need to keep our angels busy. We need angels helping us with the harvest in bringing in souls. We need angels protecting Christians. We need angels bringing direction and instruction. We need angels delivering healings and miracles. We need angels bringing in money and divine connection, customers, clients, patients, and whatever we need in business. We need angels. Everybody say, we need angels working with us in whatever we're doing in the will of God. Isn't that good? Now we see the primary way to activate your angels is the scripture I read in the beginning, one of the scriptures I read in the beginning, that they hearken to the voice of God's word. So when you speak the word of God in faith from your heart, they now activate to go bring that word and act on that word. So one of the ways to do that is to make bold confessions of faith. And so we've given you some faith confessions, 10 of them. 10 scriptural confessions, that you take the word of God, make it into a confession, and then you activating your angels. So let's look at the first one, Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of their son. Confession, Father, I walk in your godly kingdom today. For Jesus has destroyed Satan's kingdom in my life. Satan, I command you. Now, who you're giving a command, right?
Yes.
To stop your maneuvers in my life, I bind you and cast you out. Amen. See, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So you can take some prevention and say, I'm going to stop and obliterate the plans of the enemy before I even get out of the door. Don't wait till you head on with the devil. Come on, get out there in advance. I stop your maneuvers. I cancel all your assignments in my life today. Now, many of you got already the daily personal confession, and we have it in there. No weapon formed against me, my family, my finances, my business shall prosper. And every tongue that rises, you can say that when you get up in the morning before you get out and start getting involved in business. Amen? Because you send your angels to enforce that word, that no weapon formed against you. Now, you got to remember, the devil never sleeps. He doesn't take a day off. Well, nor do your angels. Because they are spirit beings and not human beings, so they don't require sleep. So you can put them to work while you're resting. Are you listening to me? And you say no weapon, because the devil is not busy around just picking his nose. Jesus told us he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's always plotting to get in your family, to get in your finances, to destroy your future, to mess up your well-being, to make you sick, to infect you with and demonize everything you're doing. He's trying to obstruct the will of God and block the plan of God for your life. Don't think he's a nice sport. He is not. He's a meanie. Amen. And so you can put your angels to work as protectors out there, paving the way. Because if you would look in the realm of the spirit, the entire atmosphere is congested with hostile forces. You need the forces of God, the angels of God working for you. They are servants in the army of the Lord. They serve you. They serve God first, and then they serve and help you and me. Amen? And so don't think you're in a civilian situation. You are at war. He's trying to stop you and I every day. The devil is. But the angels are trying to help and assist us every day and in every way. Somebody say glory to God. Look at the second one. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Now again, you take the scripture, you internalize them and personalize them. You get in faith of believing that this is true and believing that this promise, this scripture belongs to you. And out of a position of belief, you release your faith. Amen? Speak it out in my eye. I walk in victory in every situation. For Jesus has destroyed failure in my life. I'm an overcomer and I can do all things through Christ. I have the victory and the victory has me. I am a victor and a king in Jesus' name. Amen? And you can, you know, read one more. We'll close. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I reign from my heavenly throne room position, for Jesus has destroyed an inferior position in my life. I rule and reign with Jesus today. Now, that's what he's talking about in Hebrews 2:1. Take the earnest heed, lest you make these things, you drift away from these things. And then verse 4 talks about how shall we escape? Escape what? Now, we've always preached it and taught from an evangelistic natural situation. You got to come to Jesus if you can want to escape hell. No, sometimes there's hell on earth. How many of y'all can testify to that? Man, you got H-E double hoppy sticks that happens in the earth. Well, how can you escape the hell on earth, the temporary dangers, the unsafe situations, the lack of protection and provision in this present day life if you neglect so great a salvation that you have in Jesus? This is a great salvation. You got 20,000 angels at your disposal. What you going to do with them? You're going to sit there and sit on your hands and say, oh, me, all this stuff is happening to me. But you got angels watching over you. You got angels all around you. You got angels at your disposal. Angels at your command. Hallelujah. Put them to work. That's what Brother Hagin was talking about. He said, the Lord has reminded him and shown him his angels. He said, you're not using them. And just like today, we're not using them. The whole church is full of angels assigned, waiting to go to work. Now remember, they excel in strength. They're immortal. They don't get tired. They don't take a day off. And they've been sent by heaven to assist you and me. Amen. Got to put them to work. Everybody say, put them to work. Now, I know many of you are thinking right now in your spirit, but the Holy Spirit is trumpeting this, resounding this message tonight, that you and I have heaven's assistance at our disposal. assigned to you and all that you've been assigned to do. Glory to God. Somebody say glory to God. And see, when you pray in line with the word, angels get activated to be a part of helping the answer come into fruition. Your prayers open doors for angels to get busy. Now, your worries and all your doubt and fear and unbelief shut them down. That's what we got to watch our words. Amen. Our words important. Amen. And because we're nearing the end, friends, the Lord wants us to really get busy using our angels. And I want people to expect and be open. Now, you ain't got to go around looking for angels, but, you know, expect and be aware and be open. If God wants to manifest an angel to you, because in the last days, we sung a little bit about it, the God's Spirit was going to be poured all on all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Young men would dream vision. Old men see vision. Young men dream dreams. Young ladies dream. Some of you are going to be dreaming, seeing angels. That's all right. Don't be getting all excited over angels. Just know the fact that the angels are there to help you. Glory to God. We don't worship them. We don't magnify them. We manage them. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Glory to God.